Welcome to the September Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont. Our guest today is Mr. Mark Rober, Delta County Commissioner for District 3. Thank you, Mark, for taking the time to come into KVNF to talk to us and to our listeners throughout Delta County and beyond.
Thank you, Felix. Always a pleasure.
There was a note in the August 30th issue of the Delta County Independent to the effect that at the commissioner's August 21st business meeting, you all approved a letter to the BLM reaffirming your support for the FRAM, F-R-A-M, Whitewater Master Development Plan. I don't recall any past discussion on this program of FRAM and their development plan. Who are they? And what is this Master Development Plan?
Well, Master Development Plan is a plan of how much and how many rigs a drilling company would put in at a time to, over time, develop a...
On
a given piece of leased BLM property. And FRAM is, I guess they actually are a foreign-owned company. I think it's Norwegian, I believe, but...
What isn't these days?
Good point. <Yeah. laughs> But they were starting to try and develop it in 2013, and we had commented on it then, and then it got put on hold, and now they're coming back to it and looking at the BLM had put it into a master development plan, which is supposed to plan out better on how they develop the field.
And is their area in Delta County?
It crosses the county line. Most of it is in Mesa County.
But we have a piece of
we
it.
We have a little piece of it that yeah. is in Delta County.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's basically what it was, and we just pretty much reaffirmed what we said in 2013.
I hope it's out in the boonies somewhere.
Between Grand Junction and Delta,
yeah,
so you know what it looks like.
You know, I certainly won't live to see it, but someday that thing is going to be a big oil field. You wait and see.
I don't know whether the resource is there.
But, I mean, if it's got to be someplace, that at least out there. It's been reported that the commissioners recently received what is described as a, quote, clean audit from Pete Blair, who conducted the audit of Delta County's financial activities in 2016. Is an annual audit mandated by statute?
I believe it is, Felix. Yeah, it's mandated by statute, and we undergo one every year.
Right. I would ask you to briefly describe the process and how the commissioners use it. Since this is one of the regular activities in the financial field, obviously, tell us a little about it. It's something that I imagine isn't too widely discussed outside of government, you know, with the general public, but it's
basically just a check of all the accounting of money. And I mean, it's an audit. Is
yeah,
no different than
any other audit. Yeah.
Any other audit, and you know, basically, what the clean audit is just saying is that if he found no discrepancies in anything that the mainly our finance officer and the different departments in how they were reporting what they spent and everything, and which the commissioners oversee. You know, we weekly go over all the bills and sign off, and if we have questions, ask them. But that's basically what it amounts to, is he just double-checks all the numbers and different practices on how they're reporting and make sure that it's all, you know, up to code or kosher or whatever you want to say.
Yeah. But, one of the things the audit showed, according to the report I read, was that overall there was no significant change between 2013 2015 and 2016. This leads me to wonder about 2017 and 2018 in view of one major development. Some 1,000 miners have lost their jobs in the local coal industry. Has this significantly impacted Delta County's economy and the county's income, especially with respect to sales tax revenue? Let us have your comments on this. Also, are these unemployed individuals staying in Delta County, or have they been leaving for other areas? I'd appreciate it if you discuss this in some detail.
Well, I think as far as the effect on the county revenues, yeah, there's been a dramatic effect, and we knew in advance that it was coming, and we budgeted accordingly. And we've been surprised that it stayed up as well as it did. Actually, we're seeing a little bit of an increase in sales tax this year. I think it's up 2%.
Really?
And, you know, we've had quite a few people moving in. There seems to be some activity going on. At the same time, those families that did lose jobs, some have left, some have stayed, but I think a lot of even the ones that have stayed are traveling. They left their family here, and they're doing jobs where they're maybe only home on weekends.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're seeing a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, yeah.
Yeah, but the sales tax is up for this year so far. We budgeted it at zero. That's what we planned on.
Really?
Yeah, we budgeted flat for the past 2 years because of the coal mine layoffs. Last year it was pretty much zero. This year we're seeing a little increase. So, you know, it's not as bad as it could be. But
that sounds really pretty good considering.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, sales tax is just one of the many taxes. But to base everything off of sales taxes, you don't have enough money coming in. So.
Well, I suspect that the advent of this high-speed internet thing, and which will make possible a lot of, I think, home industry, computer industry, but make it possible for people to work out of their homes or establish, they may have an office or business, but I mean, they don't have to be downtown in a business building, you know, and so on.
And I totally agree, and that's why we've been very
I think it
supportive.
May be a savior in a way.
Yeah, we've been supportive all along of getting broadband in and made that. And we've invested, you know, the county's invested a lot of money in the Region 10 project. And that for that reason, we think you're going to have broadband to be on the map because that is the wave of the future. I mean, people they want the lifestyle, but they want to be able to work from home.
Exactly.
But at some point, I think we're probably going to have to figure out how do we pay for infrastructure and those kind of things with that type of industry.
Yeah.
Because we haven't quite answered that question yet. Even in regards to sales tax with Amazon's takeover of Whole Foods and, you know, everything is online and brick and mortar maybe a thing of the past, and how do you tax online businesses? So there's a lot of questions.
Well, at least you're not alone.
I mean, that's true.
This applies all over the country. It applies to the world, I suppose. You know, there obviously has got to be some real changes in the way things. But you know, when you think of it, Delta County is such a great place to live. And nobody can say, it's great to live, but they're way behind the times and everything. With the high-speed internet and all that, it's going to be an ideal place.
I think it's a gem in the rough. I really do.
I really do. I think it's very encouraging.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
No one should write us off in any way.
No,
I think there's great business expansion to come, but it will be, it won't, as you say, bricks and mortar. It won't be a great big thing. It'll be in private homes, and you won't see it, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
But
right.
I think the outlook, personally, I think the outlook is very encouraging.
Well, I think it is. I think it is, and there's no question broadband, you know, getting it here is going to make a difference.
And it's going to be a lot of individuals or small groups. Until somebody figures out how to organize computer people, you're not going to have a big labor union problem or anything like that.
No, but it's all going to be small, more or less small businesses, and you know, we don't have, other than the one mine we have left, and the school district and the hospital. That's about the only major employers we have.
Yeah. And but as you say, how are you going to tax this thing? So
well, that's a question. But aren't alone, like you said.
Oh, I'm sure you're not. But somebody's going to come up.
We had this discussion with the Mesa.
You'll find a way, I'm sure. Government has a way of finding how to do it. But it must be a real. I never thought of it really, but it must be a real problem.
Well, it's looking, you know, as we move more and more to everybody buying everything online. I mean, the one thing that you'd still have to maintain is the infrastructure for those UPS and FedEx trucks to get around.
Sure.
And
that's going to
be
sure.
the question in my mind.
Sure.
Is how do you do that?
If you just joined us, this is the September edition of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont, and our guest today is 3rd District Commissioner, Mr. Mark Rober. We're getting down, we're certainly past the halfway point in the year and getting down toward the end. And
we're about to start the budget process again.
Well, okay, you anticipated my next question. At least I was going to get it.
You and I are on the same wavelength here.
Right. Well, I know it's way too early to talk about the budget, what's going to be in it, but tell us, I know this may, we've done this before, but just for the benefit of people that may not know exactly how it works, tell us, how does the budget process in Delta County work, just in general? I mean, sure, you got to go to each department, see what their forecast is and all that sort, but tell us how you do it, the mechanics of it.
Yeah, the mechanics basically work like the manager tells the department heads, submit your budget, and they usually put a caveat in there, you know, you may be better budget flat, you may be better cut 5%, or maybe we're looking at 2% up. You know, the manager kind of dictates that is what she and the finance team think we need to do. And then each department comes with their Christmas list of what they want and
sure.
what they need and everything, and presents it to the commissioners. It's discussed in the meeting, you know, and questions asked. And then after every department and all the private entities that come in and ask for money from the county, same process. They come in and ask, and then we just sit down and kind of divvy it up however we feel that we can do, and try and maintain the budget at what we feel like we need. And we've always tried to maintain one quarter of the year in reserve just in case things got bad. And that's just been a tradition Delta County has done.
I think Delta County has a remarkable record in that respect.
Yeah, and we haven't really had to dip in that, but we put a little bit aside that way. And, you know, we for years they were trying to put enough aside to at some point build a new courthouse facility or then jail and whatnot. And we've kind of put that on the back page, and we're using some of that money to maintain what we have, and that's the main main focus is just trying to upgrade and keep what we have usable.
But Delta County has always been in the black, right?
They've always been in the black.
That's more than a lot of political entities can say.
We have one loan. We borrowed some money to buy a compactor for the dump.
I've been hearing about that compactor for at least a year. Pay it off and let's get rid of it.
And it's almost paid off. Yeah. That's actually the only debt we've
I think that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the stories you hear, you know.
When it comes to money, the commissioners have traditionally been pretty tight.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad I don't have to work for you. But no, it's funny. I was thinking when you said, I had to describe the budget, and you've said each manager is supposed to or hopefully come in with something a little less. In my work experience, since I was in sales, it was mandatory that you come in with something bigger. They'd like to see 5 or 10%, you were lucky if you could reasonably budget the same or something. And of course, we'd fight about that, but we always had to come in with something on the plus side.
Sure,
there was no way.
You were trying to grow.
We were trying to grow. Yeah. And the interesting thing about this, and I shouldn't get into personal things, but. I was in the export business, and I had the export department of exporting products my company made to various markets. And every year it was pushed, bigger, bigger, bigger. Well, as time went on, there were some markets that were good, and we built up enough sustainable annual volume that they would put in a plant, because what they really wanted to do was have overseas plants. And over the years, I was with them for 25 years or so, over the years, we developed battery of overseas plants in many countries and so on. But the interesting thing was, as soon as they would put in a plant in a given market, I would lose it as an export market. But when it came budget time for me, I would drop that out. And they would say, oh, no, you can't go backwards and so on. I said, well, you just took a prime market away from me. And you can't do it. And that was my problem in budgeting. And it was a real headache, because the overall corporate policy was to eliminate exports from here and manufacture locally, where, frankly, they made more money.
Right.
And also there were so all kinds of tariff restrictions and all kinds of things. Whereas you had a brick-and-mortar plant in a given country, it was an asset and so on and so on. But it got so that I was losing markets, at least one market a year, sometimes more, and yet they didn't want me to reduce my export forecast. And I never could quite get the point across. They just wouldn't accept it, and it was kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Kind of thing. Well, Mark, looking at what, for a better term, I'll call the big picture, what do you see as one or two of the biggest issues for Delta County in the coming year? And I'm talking about both nice things, plus things, and hopefully, but I'm sure there probably are one or two negative things. But what are your plans? The Board of County Commissioners, what do you see for Delta County for next year?
Excuse me. Well, we're continuing to look at ways to attract more businesses in and try and get the employment up. We're still, you know, we're still a high Medicaid and reduced lunches county. I mean, that
I didn't quite catch that last sentence. Say that again.
We are very high in the number of people on Medicaid.
High in respect to other counties or the state or?
Percentage of our population.
As a percentage of population.
Right, right. And as far as, reduced lunches at the schools, we went from back in when the coal mines were going big, it was about 35%, and we're up to about 65%.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're still a poor county as far as the people are concerned. And so anything we can do to attract better paying jobs, I mean, we're looking at that and talking. I mean, we're in even some discussions with some of our neighboring counties about regionalizing, because we have what some of them don't, because we have a rail line in here. And with the right attraction, I think we could get a lot of small businesses. I don't think we're looking at, you know, any giant stores that are going to employ a lot of people. And we aren't as concerned with the retail side as much as we are production side, mm-hmm. because that's where the real jobs are. But as far as we're looking at the possibility of trying to attract some outdoor industry manufacturing. And we're actually in discussion with neighboring counties about maybe putting like a regional booth at some of those outdoor shows.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what would be an example of a regionalized activity or
industry? Well, it's just more or less cooperation between, say, Gunnison County and Delta County, or, because they don't have rail over there. But of kind of trying to work together to promote something and bring them in. And, of course, the whole Region 10, which is Gunnison, Delta, Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel, and Hinsdale, there's some possibilities there. But it it's a kind of a tricky situation, because everybody tends to get a little protective of their own turf.
What is the status of the rail service? Is it? I was kind of slightly surprised that you mentioned it as something for the future possibility. I've always sort of thought it maybe it was a dying thing, but is it fairly viable?
Well, it's viable, and of course, dealing with the railroads. It's not easy, and they...
And I was thinking with the drop-off in coal volume...
Well, that's the fear is that...
It doesn't make it so attractive to them.
If they tried to pull out, but if you got some other businesses that were using it, then, you know, that makes it more attractive for them to keep the line open also. So I think it's got possibilities. I wouldn't say it's a for sure thing. It's going to take some work, but at least we do have the rail line here. So they aren't starting from scratch to put one in. We're a little bit off the beaten path as far as, you know, like the interstate, but we continue to work at improving Highway 50 so that there is an alternate route to Interstate 70. And of course, local highways, same thing. Highway 92, one of the things, you know, we've undergone this year is a access control plan on Rogers Mesa, because that's the next phase.
Oh, I was going to ask you a little bit about that. There's been a lot of meetings. There was a meeting just a few days ago, I think.
Yeah, they've had two or three open houses. And
now, this access meaning from the Rogers Mesa Road into private property, is that what access refers to there?
Correct. Correct. And they're just trying to, you know, minimalize that to a point where it's safer. And if we get the access control plan done, then we can kind of use that to push our case as to keeping Highway 92 is right now it's the number two priority for the Gunnison Valley TPR, which is the planning region for CDOT. And Highway 50 is number one, but 92 would be number two, and we want to keep it at number two to where when money comes available, we can make that a safer, better highway. So that's part of the reason in doing what we're with the access control plan.
What will it be like when it's finished? I mean, is it going to be like a three-lane or four-lane highway, or what is the general plan?
They haven't come up with their total design plan. I don't think it will, from what I'm hearing, I don't think it'll be that. I think it'll just be a two-lane highway with wider shoulders and turn lanes at the major intersections. They don't have the funds to do it anyway, but there's no plans of making it a four-lane or anything like that. It's trying to minimize the footprint yet make it safer. So that,
yeah, there's a lot could be done.
If they were able to do what I've heard them talk about and put a 12-foot shoulder on there, it would make a lot of difference.
Sure. That will lead right into Paoni. I mean,
well, no, that's just a Hotchkiss.
That's what I meant.
Yeah,
I meant Hotchkiss.
That's
not
the next
Paoni.
Phase. Is just to Hotchkiss.
That's what I meant, to Hotchkiss.
Then we'll have to start working on between Hotchkiss and Paoni.
Well, that won't be in my time, I think. or say I hope it is.
Who knows, Felix?
You know, we want all these modern things, but we're so spoiled living around here. We don't really know how spoiled we are, how good we've got it, actually.
I would agree,
and I can make that statement because I come from New York City, and believe me, I've been here 30 some years, but it was like yesterday. I still lived in New York City. So when it comes to traffic and roads and all that sort of thing, naturally.
Well, we complain here, but all we have to do is drive to Denver and see what real traffic is like.
Sure, very true. Okay, I just wanted to tell you that we had a very good interview with the assessor, a really good one, and of course everybody's interested in how it works and so on. So it was easy from the standpoint of what questions, but she did an excellent job, and we got some very good feedback on it.
Good.
So it was good for the station, and apparently a lot of people liked it.
Good.
And I'm so glad you nominated her. Mm-hmm. And that policy of, I think I've mentioned this to Doug Ashley, but this policy of you all, the commissioners, nominating department heads and so on, as far as KVNF is concerned, you can use that in as much as you want.
Right.
And the more we get... not just the commissioners, but the, forgive me, I was going to say the working people. You all work your butt off. But get into more detail. I mean, the mechanics of these things, all the better as far as getting information out to people. So use that. Feel absolutely free to use that as much as you want. And you can tell your other two colleagues to use it.
We appreciate that, and Debbie was more than willing to come.
She was great.
Well, we thought it was real pertinent because of the change in the assessment value and how that is going to affect us, and thought you'd probably get a better answer from her than you would us. We'd be probably more general.
Well, sure, it's our thing, and this is why I say I like very much to get the person who's intimately involved or responsible for a given department or something and get down to details occasionally.
Well, I think we're more than willing to do that, and it helps us out.
It helps you too, obviously.
Yeah.
But I just mentioned this to you. You never have to feel embarrassed if you say I'm going to substitute somebody else.
Doesn't bother me. So
okay, well that's just about our time for today. We've been speaking today with Third District Commissioner Mr. Mark Roberd, and we'll be back again next month with some more words of wisdom from the Delta County Commissioners. For KVNF, I'm Felix Belmont.